Well, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good Sunday morning to all of you, my friends, and may the Lord bless you. Well, as you know, we've released information on our soon plan to be together on May 17th. What an exciting time it will be. I look forward to being with you in person and for us to have fellowship together. As I've mentioned to you and you've now seen, I hope you've read the guidelines and that you're willing to abide by those guidelines as we gather and gradually reopen worship services, honoring one another in these times of a health crisis. So read the guidelines, and then don't forget, please, I know it's a little bit different, but it will help us during these days, sign up for your time, your hour of worship, and I look forward to being with you very soon. And I know it'll be a great, great experience. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is that on May 7th, that is the National Day of Prayer. And we'll be praying for what God can do in our country in a special way. And I want to ask you to do three things as you gather to pray on that day. Remember to pray on National Day of Prayer, which is May 7th. Pray, first of all, as I've been mentioning to you, for awakening in the world as a result of this pandemic. Pray that millions will be saved around the world during these days of this terrible crisis. Number two, pray for revival among God's people. Pray for revival in the church. Pray for revival in our church as we gather back together. Pray that God would revive us again and that we'd be His people in a wonderful new way. And then the third thing is it's for our church, but let's pray for our time together. Let's pray that we will be safe. Let's pray for protection and that we'll have wisdom to know how to gather in the right way so that we don't cause anyone to be harmed in a health way. Well, today we continue to think about the good from the bad. And I want to ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Psalm number 44. Psalm 44 is one of those remarkable psalms in God's Word. It is a psalm of God's faithfulness to God in times of trial. The greatest amount of God's Word reminds us of the unfaithfulness of God's people in all kinds of different settings. But this psalm reminds us of and lifts up the wonderful characteristic of faithfulness to God. And that's the good from the bad that we need to consider during these days together. So in just a moment, we'll read from Psalm 44, and we'll especially be looking today at verses 17 and 18. Psalm 44, 17 and 18. Just before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is good for us to be together. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. As the song says, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for your providing for us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. May awakening come to the world and many be saved during these days of dread. May the church be revived. May First Baptist Church be changed forever. Revive us again. Make us the people of God in Dixon. May a shining light on the hill be seen from our lives as we serve you. Now, Lord, today, help us to evaluate whether we're living in faithfulness to you in these days. Teach us from your word. We thank you for the chance to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's review quickly our principles of the good from the bad. We have 12 of them today, and we're adding this one, number 13. All of these are important. This is my labor to you. This is my gift. I've done the best I can to try to share with you my heart during these days of the good from the bad. And I hope these things have been a blessing for you. So let's review them together. First of all, we know that God brings good from bad, Romans 8, 28. We also know that believers can live with a mind set on the Spirit, which produces life and peace. We know also that believers must wait on the Lord, Psalm 27, 14. Believers must rest in the Lord, Psalm 116, 7. Believers gain new strength as we wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40, 31. The good from the bad also includes the fact that believers in times of trial need endurance, Hebrews 10, 36. We celebrated on Easter Sunday. Believers must remember. Oh, I hope you remember today. I hope you remember today. Everything else that may be going on, remember today that Jesus Christ our Lord is risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, and soon to return. Hallelujah. Believers also can live in contentment in all of life's circumstances. Are you learning the good from the bad? Are you learning how to be content in these circumstances you're in? Are you living in contentment or in great dissatisfaction? That is Philippians 4:11. Believers can live in confident hope in all of life's circumstances. I hope that you are a hopeful one today, not a hopeless one in these days of trouble and trial. And we discovered that in Romans 5, 3 through 5. Believers also have their faith tested by the trials that come, and that reveals whether our faith is real faith, justifying faith. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Believers also learn to live by faith. We are saved by our faith through the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. But then we live by faith all the days of our life. So believers must live by faith to please God. God is only pleased with me. God is only pleased with you. Hebrews 11, 6, when we live by faith. And then we saw on Wednesday night, we must raise the shield of faith. Raise it up, because believers' justifying faith protects them in overcoming the devil. And he is at work in these days. So today we come to think about faithfulness in times of trials. Faithfulness in times of trials. So we read in Psalm 44 these words in verse number 17. We're breaking in to this psalm. What an important psalm this is for you to meditate on in thinking about the ways of God and why He permits troubles to come in the life. I'm talking about sometimes great troubles, even to the point of death, why the Lord permits that His own people are persecuted and martyred for the sake of the gospel. Well, we read these words, "All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you. And we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your way." Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. More than anything, the reading of your word. Bless the reading of your word. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. Bless us all today in our circumstances and our trials. And we thank you for them all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we come to think about these words, our focal truth for today. What I want to really spend my time on from these words today, our focal truth is this. Those who live by faith are faithful to God in times of trials. Those who live by faith are faithful to God in times of trial. One more time. Those who live by faith are faithful to God in times of trial. I want to begin by asking you a question, a personal question. This is something all of us need to consider, because when it gets really hard, what is it? What would it take to get you to give up and stop following God? What would it take? What kind of trouble and pressure from the world, attacks from the devil, your own flesh, the combination of the world, the flesh, and the devil pressing in upon you, attacking you, and horrible conditions and circumstances around you in your life? What would it take? What would it take to get you to give up and stop following God? Well, We live in some very serious times. We live in times like none of us, I'm talking about from our senior adults down, none of us have ever experienced such strange days as the days we live in. These days are times of distress for many. These days are times of fear and death and loss and inconvenience and change. Death and fear and dread and distress and inconvenience and change. And we've all been affected by it. And most of the world is experiencing that. Change and all these other experiences. But what's happening to God's people right now? The good from the bad is that these trials not only demonstrate the genuineness of our faith, but as a result of being faithful to God in our faith, we live faithful to God in our commitment to follow Him and to love Him just as much when it's hard and difficult as when it's easy. I'm going to ask it again. What does it take? What would it take? Perhaps it's been this. What does it take to get you to stop following God and to give up on walking with Him? Well, some have become unfaithful in these days who are calling themselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've gone back to other things. They've forsaken their way of following God. They're caught up in trying to self-preservation, trying to do things to take care of themselves rather than to trust God. Are you living in faithfulness to God, or are you living in unfaithfulness to God? Oh, Peter said one time, Lord, I'll never forsake you. And the Lord said, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And sure enough, Peter, one of the strongest of the disciples, what does it take? He couldn't take the pressure. He denied Jesus Christ. Are you living in faithfulness to God? Does the Lord know that you are a faithful one to Him today, or are you living in unfaithfulness? Well, this is a very important, important issue. You know, dear friends, as you talk to people about what's going on in the world today, everybody's talking and caught up in all the things that we see. I've talked to you about this before. Most people only see the crisis, only talk about the crisis, only talk about the implications of the crisis. Very few, and I'm trying to raise my hand to say, don't forget, God is working. Most people aren't considering today that God's hand is at work and God is speaking to the world. God's hand is moving. God has done these things and God is speaking to the world today. Who will hear? Who will turn and be saved? Well, Psalm 44 is a psalm of faithfulness to God in severe trials, and I encourage you to read it all. I won't go through it all today because I want to get to some very important observations and a few other things in our time today. But I would encourage you to read Psalm 44 in detail. You'll be surprised by some of what you read. We find ourselves, in fact, being surprised here by these words. Let's go back and read them again in Psalm 44, verse 17. All this has come upon us. He's talking about how God seems to have rejected them, forsaken them, turned them over to their enemies, caused them all kinds of trials, and just let every kind of horrible thing happen to them. All that's in verses 9 through 16. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, and we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your way. That is a statement of faithfulness to God. I hope it's true for you today. So let's make some observations on these. Let's look at some observations from these two verses together. I'll give them to you in this order. Number one, the faithful always remember the God who saves them. The faithful always, if you're faithful to God, you never forget. You remember always the God who has saved you. In fact, back up in verse number 3, we read in these words together in Psalm 44:3. For by their own sword they did not possess the land. They were talking about their fathers as God delivered Israel from Egypt. Their own arm did not save them, but thy right hand, your right hand, your arm, and the light of your presence, you did favor them. And then we read on in verse number 7, Psalm 44:7. But you have saved us from our adversaries, and you have put to shame those who hate us. Praise the Lord. They recognize that God was the God of salvation. And those of us who are faithful to God begin with this very fact. We recognize that we've been saved by God. You've been saved by the grace of God. Your eternal salvation is secure. And God saves us throughout our life, as we've talked about before in detail. We're saved by God's power. We're saved by His presence. And praise the Lord, He takes care of us. So the faithful always remember the God who saved them. These severe trials had come on the people of God, and yet they had not rejected God. Look at verse number 9. Yet you have rejected us and brought us to dishonor. We read also in verse number 15, all day long my dishonor is before me and my humiliation overwhelms me. So here we see these severe trials had brought humiliation to God's people, had brought to their minds that God somehow had left them and rejected them and forsaken them and dishonored them. And yet they said, all this has come upon us. All of this trouble and circumstances and the apparent rejection of God of us. And yet all of this has come, but we have not forgotten you. The faithful remember God in their times of terrible trials. We have not forgotten you. Have you forgotten the Lord today? Are you distracted by all the things that are going on in the world? Are you distracted, my friend? What is it that you're focused on? Where is your faithfulness today? What are you remembering today? And here we see it. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead today. Remember this. In Psalm 78:7, we read these words which remind us of the importance of remembering God in faithfulness for what He's done. Psalm 78:7, the faithful are reminded that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Psalm number 78:7 is worth reading because of the principle that we have here. So I want to share it with you because I think it would be so valuable for you to know. Psalm 78:7, that they should not put their confidence in God, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of His hands, but keep His commandments. Look at this. Again, what do? We trust God. Psalm 78:7, we put our confidence in God in times of trouble. Here's how you maintain your faithfulness. You put your confidence in God. You don't forget the work of His hands for you. And you obey Him. You keep His commandments. Psalm 78, verse number 7. So we trust, we remember, and we obey. Psalm 119:61 says, the cords of the wicked encircle me, but I have not forgotten your law. What's encircling you today? Well, the first observation here is that the faithful always remember the God who saves them. The second observation is this. It's found here also as we read in verse number 17. The faithful sincerely keep their agreement with God who saves them. The faithful sincerely keep their agreement with God who saves them. What do we read here? And we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. You see, God made an agreement with us. We live under the new covenant, the new agreement. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We live under the new covenant, the new agreement with God, that if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will be saved and we will experience eternal life and the security of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this characteristic of faithfulness here, my friend, is this, that we stay true to our agreement with God. We repent of our sins. We confess our sins. We maintain our faithfulness to God. We do what we read earlier in Psalm 78:7. We trust God. We remember His works and what He does for us. And we obey Him. We obey Him. Well, the faithful sincerely keep their agreement with God. There were some times when Israel said they would do this. In fact, you read in Exodus 19:8 that the people said that whatever the Lord says for us to do, we'll do it. Exodus 19:8. There's another place, Joshua, when the people are going in to possess the land. Joshua 1:16. All that you have commanded us, the people said to their leader, Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. But they didn't always do what they said. Do you do what you say to God? Have you made your commitments to God? Have you made commitments to God? Oh, by the way, during this time of trial, are you being faithful? Are you doing what you've said you would do, and are you obeying God? Well, this becomes important for us. The faithful keep their commitment to God. The third observation is this. The faithful don't turn back from following God who saves them. And this is Psalm 44:18. Our heart has not turned back. Our heart has not turned back. And so we read these wonderful words and we're reminded that sadly, Psalm 78:57, they turn back. Israel turned back in unbelief when God brought them to possess the land. They couldn't take it. They feared the size and the greatness of the people. They feared their great walls. They feared their armaments and their weapons. And they turned back. Have you turned back from following the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you turned back in these days of trouble to your own self-dependence and your own ways? Are you turning back, my friend? You see, when you're faithful to God, you don't turn back. You never turn back from following the Lord. Our heart has not turned back. Can you say that to God today? Lord, you know my heart. I have not turned back in these days of trouble. I have not turned back. I have not forgotten you. I have not treated or been unfaithful to the covenant of being saved. I'm faithful to you in obedience and faith. And I am also not turning back in my heart. My heart is strong and I'm following God. The fourth observation is this, that the faithful keep following God's way. And we read it here, the last part of verse number 18. He says, our heart has not turned back and our steps have not deviated from your way. Well, as we start to get out, as we start to get around, are you going to go back to your old ways? Have you learned anything from these days of being quarantined or putting at home? Have you learned anything about your life with God? Or have you just been twiddling your fingers and impatiently waiting around because of the inconvenience? What have you learned about walking with God? Well, here we see the description of faithfulness. Our steps have not deviated from your way. Job said it like this, Job 23:11. My foot has held to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Job 23:11. David said again, Psalm 119:157, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. Deuteronomy 17:16, he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, since the Lord has said, you shall never again return that way. Look, when you started following Jesus, what did the Lord say? He who puts his hands to the plow, don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. She turned back. Are you turning back? Are you looking back? Have these days caused you to look over here and say, well, maybe the world's way's better. Maybe science will save me. Maybe the government will provide for me. What is it that you? What is your condition of faithfulness today? Are you living in faithfulness to God or unfaithfulness to God? When it gets hard, what will make you quit following God? Well, today I want to add something a little different. I'm going to just talk through a few things that I want you to remember. And then we'll get to daily use and finish up today. Those are my four observations that I have for you today, and they're very important. The faithful, number one, always remember the God who saves them. Number two, the faithful sincerely keep their agreement with God who saves them. Number three, the faithful don't turn back from following the God who saves them. And number four, the faithful keep on following God's way, wherever it leads, through the valley of the shadow of death, through times of drought and destruction, through dread and fear. Oh, the Lord leads. He leads through all of these ways. So I have some things I want you to remember today. Some things I want you to remember. Let me just talk to you as your pastor. First of all, you know, when you really compare it to the multitudes who live in the world today, the faithful are a very few. The faithful are a very few. What did the Lord say about enter by the narrow gate of salvation, be saved, and few even find the gate, much less enter the gate. There are really relatively few, my friend, in the world, faithful followers of Jesus Christ. So there are few. Are you one of the few faithful ones? You see, most become discouraged some way along the way, and they go back. They revert back to a compromised lifestyle, to carnality, to worldliness. They forsake the way. What's going to happen to you in your walk with God when everything, as the world says, is back to normal? No, it's going to be changed. How will you live for God differently in the days ahead than you do now? The second thing I'd like for you to remember is this, that the faithful remain faithful to God regardless of their discouragement and hard circumstances. This isn't going to be the last time of trial you and I have. Another thing I wanted you to think about is this, that the faithful are assured that all these trials and afflictions that come in this world, these temporary trials and afflictions, never harm us, they only bless us. Now that's hard to believe, but it's true. They only bless us. What did Joseph say to his brothers? You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. Let me say that again. The faithful are assured that all trials and afflictions will never harm them, but only bless them. Have you come to the place where you can embrace this pandemic and this experience and say, this has blessed me. This has blessed me in my walk with God. Well, another thing I want you to remember is this, that the faithful know that all the trials in this life will never rob them of their spiritual treasure. All the troubles in this life can never rob you of your spiritual treasure. What are those spiritual treasures? Oh, my friend, they're the most important treasures you have. The presence of God. The Lord Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, through all kinds of circumstances, I'm with you always. The presence of the Lord, union with Jesus Christ. We are in Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, your walk with Him, your talking with Him, your speaking with Him, the peace that passes all understanding, and I could go on. I want to say it again, the faithful know that the trials in this life never rob them of their spiritual treasure. And one last thing I'm going to say to you is this, that I want you to remember. The faithful know that God delivers from troubles. Are you ready for this? With troubles. The faithful know something. The faithful know that God delivers from troubles with troubles. You see, God delivers His people from their spiritual troubles by temporary trials. You see, this has changed some of us. We needed this, whether we believe it or not. We needed this. We needed these trials to help us with some of our spiritual troubles. You see, these trials destroy false security, don't they? These trials we're in destroy our pride. You can't do anything about this. You feel helpless. Pride has been smashed. Formalism dies. We find that all these things we used to think were so important about how we worshiped and what we do, formalism gets dried up, goes away. Now we learn that it's from the heart we worship God. We worship Him in spirit and in truth, not in some certain pattern of worship. Formalism is smashed, my troubles. Dead-heartedness. Oh, how it's revealed in trouble. If my heart is dead and I am not alive in Christ and I've gone back to carnality, it's revealed during these times. Lukewarmness and hypocrisy, all of them take a beating in times of trial. That's why I say to you, the faithful know that God delivers from troubles with troubles and trials, so that we might be the people God has made us to be. Well, what do I have for you for daily use today? Well, it's important that I give you these, and I'll just go quickly. Number one, faithfulness is strengthened when we remember the blessing of walking with God. Oh, the joy of walking with God. I hope that you will treasure these days. You'll look back on them. I hope you've written some things down somewhere. What have you learned about walking with God during these days? Faithfulness is strengthened when we walk by faith. Not only is faithfulness strengthened when we remember the blessings of walking with God, but faithfulness is strengthened when we walk by faith. Faithfulness is strengthened as we love God. When I love somebody, I want to be faithful to them. When I love Pat, I want to be faithful to her. I love my family, I want to be faithful to them. My children and grandchildren, I want to be faithful to you. I love you as your pastor, I want to be faithful to you. When we love God, we express our faithfulness to God. Faithfulness is strengthened as we see the faithfulness of others. I'm encouraged because I have witnessed by listening and seeing and talking to people by a text and email and phone, their faithfulness to God in all kinds of circumstances. And finally, the greatest of all, faithfulness is strengthened when we remember the absolute faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was faithful unto death. What does Hebrews 3:2 say? It says that He was faithful to Him who appointed Him. So today, as we started, we'll end with this focal point that we made. Those who live by faith are faithful to God in times of trial. I hope that you're living as one of God's faithful ones today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God that challenges us. We thank You for Psalm 44 that teaches us the wonderful characteristics of faithfulness in times of trial. May it be true for us as You look at our heart and our motivations and our minds. And Lord, as You hear our words, as You see our lifestyle, we pray, Lord, that You would see in us faithfulness like was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the dear people today in all their goings and comings. And we pray again that You would be honored in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's a spiritual decision you have today, I encourage you to call us, to email us, to text us, let us know so that we can pray with you, help you, and talk to you in any way that might be helpful to you. Again, May 17th is coming. Please go to the website, find your worship service. They're all set up by age groups so that we don't spread this virus in an unintended way. If someone has it, we're going by the protocols and the guidelines that we've sent to you. Please sign up to come to worship. I look forward to seeing you. It's going to be a great, wonderful, glorious time when we're together. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on Wednesday night right back here as we continue to study God's Word and the good from the bad. May the Lord bless you today.